Some of you were able to see this last week. Some of you did not. But this is actually the basin that I used to wash the feet of the church board on my first Sunday. And if you remember, the purpose behind that was to say that I will never ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself. And so we had that opportunity. And this actually is kind of cool. Darren and I didn't necessarily plan this, but God's got a great plan in place. This kind of will help serve as maybe a little bit of an icon to remember that Sunday. And as we're in this series called Red Letter Churches, my hope and my prayer is that as we look at the words of Christ, we don't necessarily look at them just on the individual standpoint, but that we would look at those as to what they mean to us as a church. So if you do me a favor, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. It's where we're going to be looking this morning. And I want you to ponder a statement. Statement is this: to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. Think about that. That's going to come up a little bit later as well. Can we do something this morning? Would you stand for the reading of His Word? We won't necessarily do that every Sunday, but I think sometimes, you know, when we're really focusing in on one passage that's going to serve as our passage for the week, I think it's good just to give God that honor. Amen? The Word of the Lord. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but His disciples. When the Lord learned of this, He left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now we had to go through Samaria. So He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as He was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" See, His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When He comes, He will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, who speaks to you, am He." The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, teach us, Lord. Teach us and help us to be able to see with your eyes. In his name we pray. Amen. One of the things that you'll come to learn about me is that I'm a visual learner. If you were to write something down, or if you were to draw it out on a napkin, or however you get it to me visually, I will learn it faster and probably better understand it, just because that's the way I'm wired. Dan Coughlin and I are like, we're tight. He gets the images out there, and I'm like, yeah, man, that's awesome, you know? So it's good. Well, when it comes to Jesus' teaching, I always get excited because I'm able to do a couple of different things. One, Jesus was a visual teacher. He understood that if you had an object, if you had something to use in a way that they would understand, something common, it would last longer in their memories. So Jesus is a visual teacher. And so this morning, we're going to add another kind of icon here. It's simply a bucket. Ordinary, right? Doesn't really have any magical powers, or at least I'm not aware that it does. If it does, we probably should all go. So this morning, that's going to serve as our object, right? But the second thing I get to do is look and read in the Scripture and put myself in that place to hear the words that the Scripture writers wrote and to be able to write a story with them and visualize what that looks like. So you'll hear me say often, picture this with me. And when I say picture this with me, I want you to put yourself in the story. Can you do that? All right, you ready? So picture this with me. Jesus had been traveling for quite a while from Judea to Galilee. It's hot. It's dusty. It's dry. He's thirsty. The disciples, they're hungry. And so instead of walking with the disciples all the way into town, Jesus looks over and he sees this well. And he thinks, I'll just go and I'll rest there. And so he goes and he finds this well and he sits down to stop and get a drink. Now, most of the time in the story, when we're looking at the woman at the well, we tend to think that Jesus just happened to kind of walk up on a woman that was already there. But the truth is, when we look at verses 6 and 7, we see something quite interesting to the story. So look with me at verses 6 and 7. This is in John. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. And it was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" And his disciples had gone into town to buy food. So now we get to ask ourselves, well, why is this important? Well, I'm glad you asked. This little fact that Jesus was already sitting there at the well and that the woman came up and approached him is kind of a really big deal, especially in the Scripture. You see, she would have known that Jesus was not only Jewish, but she also would have known that Jesus was a rabbi. In both instances, she would have known this, not just by his appearance, but by the way he dressed. And remember, she's not only a Samaritan, but she's also a Samaritan woman. That's like a double whammy. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, but I'll tell you that during this time, women were seen as just a little bit less than human. I don't know, it sounds terrible, but you have to place yourself in the setting. So this woman, Samaritan woman, comes to Jesus. And that tells us actually a little bit about her personality, doesn't it? Tells us that she's probably a little bit aggressive with men. And so we look at that and we'll actually find that later in the story. But there's something else that is important in verse 6 that sets the tone for the entire story. The truth is, there's a monumental piece of information that is shared in verse 6 that changes the entire purpose of the story. And of course, John, being one of the detailed writers of the gospel, doesn't miss this detail. Do you see it? Look in verse 6. There's four words that's a game changer for this entire story. Are you ready for them? It was about noon. Now you ask yourself, all right, Pastor, why is that important? Well, I'm going to tell you. It was customary during this time for women to draw water from the well, especially this particular well, either early in the morning or late at night. And because of the fact that this timing was very specific, that well experience became important for women in the town. So they would all gather together, and they would meet either early in the morning or they would meet late at night. And it's kind of funny because it's kind of like the office time around the cooler, right? So it was their opportunity to gossip, talk about their families, you know, complain about their husbands, you know, talk about what Whoopi Goldberg said on The View. And, you know, so they would have these conversations and whatever it is that women would do at that time. And so we have this experience where this woman is now not coming early in the morning, and she's not coming later at night, but she's actually coming right in the middle of the day. And John makes this a point. He makes this an important point to the story. And the reason? Well, although it doesn't say in Scripture exactly, you can read what's being said and understand that this woman was considered an outcast. She was an outcast. You know, she didn't want to show up early in the morning because I'm sure she was tired of being made fun of. She was tired of being pressed down. She was tired of being talked about. She didn't show up late at night because of the same reasons. So she would come alone in the afternoon so that she wouldn't have to go through the daily ridicule of what it meant to show up at that well with other people. Now think about this with me. It was easier for this woman to break tradition than it was for her to go to the well at the proper time. Think about the gravity of that. It was easier for this woman to break tradition than it was for her to put herself in a place where other people were going to be around and other people would find out more about her. Now, I wonder if that's true for some of us in this place today. I wonder if you at times have found it easier to avoid certain places or certain people because of the way that you're treated. I wonder if you have friends or you have loved ones in your life who've told you that they don't want to go to church because they're afraid about what people might say. I think sometimes it's easier just to stay home. So we have this woman who's not afraid to break the rules. And in breaking the rules, she unknowingly puts herself face to face with the Savior. Right? But on the flip side, and here comes a good amen opportunity. You ready? We have a Savior who too doesn't care about the rules and knowingly puts himself face to face with a Samaritan woman. Hopefully that was... Did I say that? Let me say it again. We have a Savior who doesn't care about the rules and knowingly places himself face to face with a Samaritan woman. Amen. Amen. That's the God that we worship. Jesus knew that he wasn't supposed to talk to her, and he still did. Jesus knew that he could have gotten in trouble, but he didn't care. Because you know why? Because he found a person that needed this life giving water. And who had that water? He did. Come on, church. Amen. He had that water. Amen. So what happens during this encounter? Well, first there's a little testing of traditions and knowledge. And then there's a power of observation when the woman realizes that this guy wants a drink, yet he doesn't have anything to get anything out of the well. Right? I love that. I love how she kind of goes, "Sir, I might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but you say you want a drink, but you've got nothing to use to draw water." You know, I wonder if even Jesus at that point's like, "Oh, wow, good point." So we look in verse 11 through 13. She challenges him. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Verse 13 through 15, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Now, I love this part of the story. I love this part, right? Again, visual. I'm a visual person, so I'm in the story. I'm looking at this. I'm thinking to myself, Jesus is describing an incredible moment here for this woman. And I love, actually, the fact that he challenges her, and it challenges me, actually, in my daily living. And I have to kind of ask myself, am I living that way? He says, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The message, I love what the message says, because it actually says, the water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life. Do you know what an artesian spring is? An artesian spring is this really cool thing that, because of water pressure that's in the ground, when it's tapped down into, this water literally springs up from the ground, and in some cases will shoot high into the sky, right? And it can't be stopped. You can't stop the water. It comes from the ground. It has so much back pressure that it just keeps going and going and going. And there are artesian springs over in the area, especially where Jesus ministered, even to this day, that are still going and going. And so it challenges me in my life to ask myself, am I living in such a way that people look at me and they're like, wow, he's got a spring of living water welling up inside of him, and it kind of pours out on people. Now, here we go, church. I'm going to challenge you here. Are we a church that people look to us and they go, wow, they've got streams and springs of living water flowing out of them? Do people drive down Raymond Drive and look to the right and see Trinity, Church of the Nazarene? Do they say, that is what I want? An artesian well, springing forth, unstoppable. So, I love that challenge to ask ourselves, are we living in this way? Are you living in this state of eruption that people see you as a gushing fountain? You know, Jesus is modeling for us this very detail here in his word. Because the truth is, he's spilling life, giving water all over this Samaritan woman. And she is so thirsty. But as Jesus goes throughout his ministry, especially with this woman, and he's talking about this living water, he's kind of just spilling it out on people, right? And they become kind of like soaked in his blessing. You know what I mean? And so maybe for us, maybe we need to think about and look at the opportunities for us to maybe spill a little bit of ourselves out onto other people around us. Maybe we take that life-giving water and we say, wow, I've drank from the spring, right? I've drank from the spring. And so now the only thing that I can do is live in obedience to what Christ did for me. And so I'm going to spill out. I'm going to get some people wet, right? So, the truth of this morning is that you have to place yourself in this story somewhere. For some of you, you are like Christ. You're living each day to the fullest, and you're spilling over on people. For some of you, you are the woman. You've been beat down. You've been hard pressed. Your spiritual lips and mouth are dried and cracked. And all you want and desire is this life-giving water. And for some of you, you're the disciples. And you've literally checked out for lunch. You know, the disciples, they just kept going. So you place yourself in this story. You say, where am I? God, what are you trying to teach me in this today? Right? You know, the woman at first doesn't realize how thirsty she is. And actually almost misses what Jesus is saying completely. Look with me in verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Now we look at that at first glance and we go, yes, she gets it. She wants the water. She doesn't want to be thirsty again. But the truth of that statement is she doesn't care about her spiritual thirst. She cares about her reputation. She wants to not be thirsty anymore physically so she doesn't have to go back to that well anymore. And she almost misses it. But Jesus, recognizing that that's what she's saying, challenges her. And he says, I'll tell you what, go get your husband and we'll figure this out. And then comes that accountability. You know, in the story, she says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus holds her accountable. He says, I know you've had five and now you're on number six. And so because of the context in which this story takes place, it was not permissible for women to divorce. That was only the right of a man. And so she had actually had been divorced under her own power five different times. And now she was on number six. So in this context, the context in which this story was written, she would have been considered an adulterous woman. So now we add that on top of this cultural taboo moment when this Samaritan woman, an adulteress, comes and meets with Jesus. I have to tell you, we're not only blessed to have a Savior who meets us where we are in life, but we also have a Savior who challenges us to be real with ourselves and to call out of the darkness all the things that need to be purified by His holy light. Amen? He is calling us to dig deep down into the darkest parts of our life. And He says, I want to meet you where you are right now. And I want to call those things out. And we want to expose those to His holy light. Amen? And I believe that there's probably some of us in this place that have taken some of those dark moments and have buried them so deep that we even ourselves don't believe that we can get them out. Well, I've got good news for you. Christ's living water is an unstoppable force that can reach to the farthest depths of who you are and purify you wholly. Did you hear me say that, folks? His living water is so unstoppable, it can reach to the deepest depths of who you are and can purify you wholly. I mean, you can take that to the bank. If you hear nothing else today, tuck that away. Because that's the joy. That's the incredible moment of all this, when we get to experience His living water. And so, we see this Savior. We see the Savior who meets this woman where she's at in that moment. And I don't want you to miss the Savior meeting with you right now in this moment, just as you are, not as you want to be, not as you think you should be, not as people see you, but as you are right now in this moment, God wants to meet with you. Man. What an incredible promise. We as a Red Letter Church need to live out the example that Christ sets before us in Scripture. Simply, we need to love people as they are. That's what we're called to do. If we're looking and using these red letters as an example of how we are called to live, then we must love people as they are. Not as we want them to be, not as other people see them, but right where they're at, right now, in that moment, your stream of living water pours out on them and says, I will love you as you are. With no anticipation or expectation or anything that you get out of that. But because Christ lives that example for us, we go out and we live that example for Him. He had every rabbinic right to condemn her, but He didn't. He loved her. He could have heard her story and judged her, but instead He reached out to her. He had every right to ignore her and act like she wasn't even there, but instead He sees her. And I mean, He really sees her. To be known is to be loved. And to be loved is to be known. He didn't tell her to go and get everything right and then come back. No, He helped her to be known. Then all of a sudden, the story, it clicks for her. She throws a lifeline out there. I love this. Because if you're not necessarily kind of really dialed into the Scripture, you might kind of glance over it. She throws out a big old lifeline to Him. And she's testing the waters. She wants to know, is this guy who I think he is? She starts putting it together. She starts connecting the dots. So she throws out this big lifeline. Look with me in verse 25. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Basically, what she's saying is, by the way, I know enough scripture to realize that what you're doing to me right now can only be done by the Messiah. So I'm going to ask you this question and find out. Is that you? Right? And then here we go. The response. Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine being this woman, being in that place, and all of a sudden, you're sitting there, you're broken, you feel abandoned, your spiritual lips and mouth are dry, and you want the thirst for that living water, and you just threw out this lifeline saying, are you this guy? And then all of a sudden, verse 26 just lands square right between her eyes and says, then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Oh my word, how amazing is that? How amazing is that this woman found exactly what she had been looking for, not even realizing that that's what she was looking for. And he gets to confirm for her, the person that you think I am, I am. So we look at her reaction in verse 28. So look with me in verse 28 through 30. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who has told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. I love this. She was so excited about what just happened in her life, she left her water jar. She ran back to town, and again, John, being the nice, detailed writer that he is, makes sure to put a point in there saying, by the way, she didn't care about that water anymore. She wanted his water. She didn't care about the physical water anymore. She wanted his living water. So she left her jar and she ran back to town. The whole point and purpose for her going to the well did not matter because of what she just experienced. You too, at points in your life, have experienced this moment. You too have experienced this moment when you have drank from that living water, recognized the cross and the sacrifice that he made, and you allowed that to fill you. And I want to challenge you, church. Are you excited enough that you're going to put your water jug down and run back and tell everybody about it? Are you going to live that example? Because I'm challenged by that. Trust me, I'll never stand up here and not place myself in the same path and position and part as you. Because I'm challenged by that. I ask myself, Steve, are you living in such a way that you're willing to put that water jug down and not care about anything else except for sharing his love? Man, what a challenge. What a challenge. And she goes back and there was only one response that she could do in that moment, and that was just to share this incredible news about what Jesus did for her. Right? And so I'm going to ask the band to come back. And I want us to kind of close maybe a little bit differently this morning. And this series it's a pretty challenging series. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, it's my second Sunday, right? But I think that there's times you didn't call me to play nice, right? You called me to work with God and work with leaders and help shape a church that God wants us to be. And this is a great example. And I believe, and I want to encourage you, because I believe that there are many, many among us that are living this way. So hear me say that. But I want our hearts to break for those who feel like this woman. who are desperate, who are needing, who are desiring to find a Jacob's well, who are desiring to be at a place where they're loved and accepted, and they're heard, and they're seen, and they're known. And their story is important. Because as people gather in this place, and as we attract more people to this place, we're going to become entangled with stories. And I love that. I love that. So the band is going to finish with a song. And it's hopefully one that you're familiar with. And what I'd like you to simply do this morning in response is in just a few minutes, we're going to stand. And as they sing, I want you just to kind of really listen and respond to what God is saying to you. Maybe this morning you want to come and be an intercessor. Maybe you know somebody who is like this woman, or maybe you have a person in your life that you desire opportunities to spill out your living water on. And so maybe you'll come and you'll pray for them. You know what intercessory means, right? It means connecting earth and heaven. That's what it means. So when you intercede for somebody, you are connecting that person to God. Amen? So maybe for you this morning, that's where you're at. Maybe you this morning, you're dry. You're thirsty. You're feeling like there's things in your life that you don't want to talk about with other people, or you feel like you haven't been in a place of acceptance. And you're hurt. So I want to give you an opportunity to come and just to simply bow at His feet and allow His life-giving water to pour out over you. And then maybe you just have a burden for the church. Maybe you're carrying a burden to say, we want this place to be Jacob's well. We want this place that no matter who comes through these doors, no matter who we talk to or come in contact with, that we will be a place that will reach them where they are. No strings attached, folks. No strings attached. But just love them where they are, because that's the example that Christ set for us. So I just want you to simply stand now, if you would. And as we sing, just listen to your heart. And if you'd like to just come forward and just pray around the altar, that's fine. If you'd like to make the place where you're sitting an altar, and if you want to turn and just kind of kneel at your pews or whatever that looks like, would you just respond this morning? I'd ask that you would maybe just kind of gather around those that have come to pray. And if you know somebody, if you can lend support, if you just come and just place your hands on them, that would be real encouragement. And you guys can sit out there. You know, at times, when we come and we experience that living water, the only thing that we can do is just respond. So let's just take a few minutes. I'll say a few seconds. I don't want to worry some of you. Let's just take a few seconds. And let's kind of just, this might be the only time you get to be quiet this week. So let's just be still before the Lord. Can we do that? Lord, You've offered us this quiet moment. quiet our hearts, to quiet the busyness of our mind, to sit, Lord, right now in this place at your well. Lord, all of us are sitting face to face with you this morning. And you meet us, Lord, where we are, each of us in a different place. Lord, and some have gathered to, around this altar, Lord, to pray, to be a blessing to others. Lord, some have gathered around this altar to pray that they would be challenged to respond. Lord, some have gathered because they are just thirsty, Lord, for the water that only you can supply. So now in this moment, we allow you to move. We allow you to be immeasurably more than we could ever ask for or imagine. We're challenged as a church to be this well that springs forth new life, to be an unstoppable force in a community that needs this life-giving water. And Lord, we're just blessed to be in your presence this morning. We give you honor and we give you glory. We just want to give time for those that have gathered to pray. And this is how I'd like to end this morning. As you know, we're kind of a new thing that we're doing. I'm going to pronounce a benediction over you. And typically at that moment, I'd walk to the back and meet with you there. But I just want to kind of hang out up here this morning and just kind of meet some people and pray with them. And so would you stand as I pronounce a benediction over you? And if you want to receive that benediction, hands out or however that looks to you, or maybe you want to raise a hand in the air. Let us go to him this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed. Please go quietly.